thank Sarah Godwin and the rest of the Godwin family for the music. Oh, well. There is no children's sermon or children's church this morning, but I have it on good authority that our speaker this morning is passionate about children and is passionate about Jesus. And so together, I think both us as adults and you as children will be richly blessed by what he has to share with us. Steve Lennon.
Will you give this to George? Right over there. Okay. We're going to memorize a Bible verse today. And does it say in your bulletin, is this the right title for the sermon, Ice Cream, Bibles, and Storms? Did I have it right? They tell you to let Shirley know by Thursday, and I wasn't sure what it was going to be on Thursday, so I put that down, and I didn't have the Bible verse at that point in time. So this is the Bible verse. It's not listed in the bulletin. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and light unto my path. From Psalm 119:105. Okay, we're going to say that together, and you'll have it memorized by the end of the day. I bet many of you have this memorized already. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and light unto my path. Okay, the word is a light, a lamp and a light. And if you read the commentaries, they'll say one's for dark and one's for daytime. And they'll talk about this and they'll talk about that and so on and so forth. But for me, I'm thinking of it in terms of the word of God is practical for me for living, and the word of God is salvation. That's my 2 points. Can you see those pictures? Okay, the top one is Andy Griffith. This bottom one is Pollyanna. That's my favorite movie from when I was a kid. And I'm taking you back to when I was a kid. And you know, when I read things at school or at home or anywhere where it's old something, older, from the older days, not current, or if I watch something that's an older show, I just can't believe how much reference there is to God, to church, to the Bible, to stories in the Bible, to common terms that you have in your brain. But I'm finding today, I don't think kids, and I think some people beyond kids, have no clue. So some of those we're going to talk about today. The one example I'll bring to mind now is the Good Samaritan. There's a law called the Good Samaritan Law, and I'm not sure how many people would know that comes from the Bible. Okay. There's a kid. That was him questioning. What's all this stuff about? Next one. We had a Bible giveaway this week, and we're continuing even as I speak. One morning, I woke up, and I felt like God just put into my mind the thought of this summer, hey, let's pass out Bibles. Not just Bibles, but kids' Bibles and other Bibles. And people in this church have cooperated so wonderfully, both in missional outreach and in people helping, people paying, people praying. It has been so cool. I forgot to mention last week, sorry, last week, I should have announced to you, the week before I asked for $60 or $65 or whatever it was to finish out the last two orders I wanted to make, and last week I should have said, hey, we had at least $20 extra, and I have $2 that someone handed me later that are sitting at home on my little nightstand. We got the money, and it's so cool. I did not forget today to announce that. So, shedding the light for living, the light of the world, how to live my life, and the light of Jesus as salvation, Jesus as Savior. Pastor Chris has talked about our lives being a continuum. I mean, there's things that we did when we were younger, there's things that we're doing now, and for those of us who are becoming older, we say, oh, there are still things that are being written in my story here on earth today, and that is so hopeful for me as I approach this. This week, some stories were written in my life and some others, and this coming week, some stories may be written in your life, and we just keep on and on and on. I like that part about the story is not finished. Sheridan Village, Wednesday night, we went at 6 p.m. I'm ready for you, Eve, if you would step up here. My hands shake, and so she's going to hold these out. And if you want to, you can kind of demonstrate how we did this as you think about these things as I read them to you. There were some people that helped in the kitchen, getting prepared, taking a one-cup measuring cup. I trained her on what's a cup. Taking a one-cup measuring cup and a little sandwich bag and opened it up, and we had to shake the half gallon of ice cream mix, pour it in this cup without spilling it, get it almost to the top because you didn't want to short anybody. See how she poured that in there? She did not spill. And the tough part was this young lady and that young lady out there, Kylie and Zoe, who's not here this morning, they did this without spilling. It was so cool. We've done enough on that. Then we took this bag here, and you can throw that in there. She sealed it really nicely. She took this cup, which was scooped with 2 cups of ice, scoop it and pour it in there. Bingo. We didn't throw the cup in, but that was good. And then we took a half a cup of salt and dumped that in there with the cup, zipped it up. My wife bought zipper bags because I'm challenged on Ziploc bags. And then what did we do? Did you get to make one? Did you make one yourself? Shake it and shake it and shake it and shake it. And on the video on YouTube, it takes 5 minutes, but in real life, sometimes it takes longer than that. Wonderful job. You did a nice job. Thank you so much. You may go sit down. Doug Starley was here to crush ice. You know, the half-gallon jugs that I had were filled with water that froze, and he went out there and beat them with a pair of pants, and you put it inside there so the ice doesn't go all over, and I washed it between times I used it. He did the crushing of the ice, and who else was here? I don't want to miss anybody. Austin, that's Zoe's brother, he was here to help out. He did some crushing. He did some filling of the half-gallon containers with clean water, so the next day I'd have more ice. Doug Mulder was here, and he was carrying things and hauling things and doing everything that we needed. And Miss Sarah was here, and she was kind of just the wonderful person with the kids and the people. It was so cool to have her with us. My wife came to all 3 events. She got to hang out. She did not eat any ice. Did you eat ice cream? She ate ice cream. Thank you so much. So the first night was vanilla night. And the second night, we had a little bit different crew because Melissa and the baby came to help. And Kylie and Kylie's brother, Nate Finn, for some of us. And Doug was back again. And I think I caught everybody. Anyway, we did all those jobs and it turned out well. As chaotic as it was, it all was there. The first night was vanilla night. We did the ice cream and you look up in the sky and say, it's getting kind of gray. I wonder what's up with that. And we said, we maybe should quit. And we did quit. And we quit as quickly as we could. Doug Starley had the truck, and in his truck, he put the tables and the chairs and the ice chests and the garbage can. And he had all the big stuff. And the Bibles all got in the car, and none of them got wet. Here's what Doug Starley said in his email the next morning. He doesn't live too far. He was going to go home and park it in the garage. Steve, when I got home last night in the pouring rain, our electricity was off, so I couldn't get the garage door open. I took the card tables in, and that was all. Everything is up at church, in the kitchen and hallway, going into the fellowship center. I've wiped everything off, and it should be ready for you today. There are a lot of wet garbage bags in the garbage can. There were like 50 garbage bags down below. You know how you hide extras? They were all soaking wet. Do you know how hard it is to dry off garbage bags? Anyway, that's Doug's story. I'm ready to show pictures. These are some of the kids. There's Sarah with Zoe and Doug with a young gentleman reading. And this is right over at Sheridan Village. They had a nice concrete, I didn't know this, I didn't pay attention, nice concrete place where we could set up and sit, and then there was grass nearby. Next picture. Eve was there, ready to go. She was a wonderful helper. Steve and Nicole and Zachary were there, and there's Doug back there doing his work. I don't know if I see anybody else in that one or not that I can identify. Next. Here's some more shaking and shaking and shaking, shaking, shaking. You see, we did.
Notice she has mittens on.
Right there. You see, we did suggest they bring mittens if they had them, because you can't believe how cold your hand would be after 5 minutes holding it like that. And do I have one more picture? There is our, I think that's our last picture. It was really a cool evening, and the next evening was just as nice. We didn't have the rain the next evening, which was okay. We figured that the huge storm we had that night was brought on purpose to wash away all our mess. There was a little mess. The next night was chocolate night, and chocolate night for some was more popular. I don't understand why, but we sold chocolate ice cream. There were a few of us that used the leftover vanilla because that's just the way we are. Did I have one more picture? Is that it? Go on to the next one. Then I'll kind of remember where I am. I'm trying to see if there's anything. The next day, you know, you look at Wonderground. We look at Wonderground to see what the weather is. And down below, they have the radar, and it goes up and down and up and down for whether it's 50% or 25%. The next day, I was a little nervous after the night before, and I looked at that, and it went down here. It was like 20%. I said, that's so cool, 20, 20, 20. Then it went down to zero, over, back up to 20, and straight across. And I said, I wonder where that zero is. It was so funny, because you know, you got to really look close to see the hours on there. And you got to the hours. It said 6 o'clock, it said zero. To 8 o'clock, it said zero. I'm not kidding. Now, is that amazing? I don't know. That was cool. The Bibles we gave away is really cool. We limited it to one per family for the kids' Bibles, not knowing how many we'd have. We have some left, so I'm hoping as follow-up we can go back and go around to different families that might want a different one. We had Bibles of different variations. The first thing I wanted to read from now on, let me see if I got everything. We did get another rain. You know, the really long, we had almost 4 inches at our house, so I know that the mess on the second day has been cleaned up also. Doug took blame for the heat because he prayed that this would be successful. Doug prayed that it would be successful, and he said, well, God must have sent the heat so people would want to eat ice cream. So he takes the heat for the heat. It is his. I have a Berenstain Bears. This is a board book. And these are the stories that it has in it. Creation. Kids, you'll be listening to see if you know all these stories. The kids, this is a kid's sermon today, too. Sorry about the adults. You have to bear with the kids you have to bear with when I'm talking. And creation, in this Bible, it has a creation story. It has Noah. It has David and Goliath. It has Daniel in the lion's den, the birth of Jesus, the good neighbor, Jesus in Jerusalem, and he is risen. Now, you think about it, that's a good summary of the whole Bible in one little book that just has, I mean, it's a board book. You've seen those when you had little kids. And the next Bible, go ahead, Shirley. The Jesus Storybook Bible, that is this one. It had all those stories, except for some reason it didn't have the one about the, I think it was the Good Samaritan. And they had dozens more. So it was interesting to see which ones that one book to the next would include versus the others. So to make a long story short, this is the second Bible. We had a third Bible like this. And then we had the story, which I passed off as an adult Bible. But really, kids, sixth, fifth grade on, this would be easy to read, I think. I wanted to go on to the next one, the story. That's 31 chapters. It's in chronological order. It's by time so that you follow beginning to end just the way the order is. And that's the one we're going to use at Windsor Park for our Bible study. We had a nice group. We met there, and the newsletter article said 2 p.m. And Betty calls and says, you know, they put up on the walls flyers telling when it is, and it says 1 p.m. So we weren't sure what to do, and we decided we would start at 1 p.m., and I would have to talk long and hard enough to last until 2 p.m., which I can do. And we finished up, we actually had the first three ladies, and Betty and Marianne and two guys were there for the first part, and Sue and I. And then another lady showed up at 2 o'clock, and we sent ice cream up for her husband because he couldn't come down. On the second, at that one, we made homemade ice cream out in the kitchen in the electric, an electric ice cream maker. We had chocolate and vanilla. I think chocolate was probably, again, more popular, sorry to say. So, but we have planned for Windsor Park August 3rd, we decided on, a Thursday night. As we're starting a Bible study there. And we are so excited. That is so cool. Next, Shirley. In unison, we're going to read this. I'm going to quit talking as much. You're going to read with me. This is in the beginning of one of these Bibles. It's kind of the introduction. Let's read it together. The heavens are singing about how great God is, and the skies are shouting it out. See what God has made day after day. Night after night, they are speaking to us. And then in this Bible, they have, next slide. The Bible, they have an introduction to this Bible. It says, God wrote, I love you. He wrote it in the sky, on the earth, and under the sea. He wrote his message everywhere because God created everything in his world to reflect him like a mirror. Have you ever heard that before? To reflect him like a mirror. I think that is so cool. To show us what he is like, to help us know him, to make our hearts sing. The way a kitten chases her tail, Pat, this is a cat story. The kitten chases her tail, the way red poppies grow wild, the way a dolphin swims. And God put it into words too and wrote it in a book called the Bible. And then it goes on to talk about how the Bible, some people think it's just a bunch of rules, and there are things in there that help us to know how to live. And then it goes on to say that it's a book about a bunch of heroes, and it has pictures of some heroes of the Bible, Joseph and Daniel and Moses, etc. And then it goes on to say, you know, they were heroes, but they all had problems, and they all had mistakes. And then it talks about the greatest hero of all, Jesus, coming and how he is infallible. He is perfect. He is the perfect hero. And it talks about, you know, you hear Jesus, the Prince of Peace. It says here, he is the boy prince. I never thought about Jesus being, I mean, maybe I'm just dense. I never thought about him literally being the prince. You know, the king is God, and Jesus is the prince. I never thought about that idea before. Either way, this is one of the Bibles we used, and I have another Bible here that we're going to use today, and then last of all is the story. We are ready for the next one. This is the Good Samaritan, and you will find this. I tried to pass out to everybody. I missed some people. I am so sorry. A Bible so you could follow along, and you don't all have the same ones, so you can't all see the same things. This is in the Jesus Storybook Bible, and it's on page 152. So if you have this Bible, there should be a bookmark in there that you can follow along with me if you'd like to and see the pictures. If I wish there's a way I could have put them up on the board, but I couldn't figure it out. So Daniel and the scary sleepover. You never thought of it as a scary sleepover, but I guess it would be. If you have this, follow along and look at the pictures. Things were not looking good for God's people. They had been captured and taken far from home, and now they were slaves of the king of Babylon. But God had not left his people. He was with them, and he was looking after them. Daniel loved God and obeyed him. Now God made Daniel able to understand lots of difficult things, so it wasn't long before the king of Babylon noticed him. King Darius liked how clever Daniel was, so he made Daniel his most important helper of all and put him in charge of lots of other helpers. But the other helpers didn't like this. They wanted the king to like them best. They wanted to get rid of Daniel, so they spied on Daniel. They tried to find things wrong with Daniel, things they could tell the king, things they could, but there weren't any, none. They couldn't find anything at all. Except there was just this one thing every day, three times a day without fail, no matter what, Daniel went to his room, closed the door, and prayed. And was that a testimony that they're going to nail him on praying? And they knew he would be consistent, and they knew he would be faithful to praying, even after there was a bad thing that went along with it from the king. They smiled to themselves, let's get the king to make a law. No one is allowed to pray to anyone except to the king. Daniel won't obey this law, and he will be punished. They were pleased with themselves for being so clever and hurried off to tell the king. The king liked their idea. He didn't know they were tricking him, so he made it into a law. Everyone must pray only to me. If you don't, the lions will have you for their dinner. Daniel heard this. He knew it was wrong to pray to anyone except God. He had to do what God said, whatever it cost him, even if it meant he would die. So Daniel went to his room, closed the door, and prayed. That's just what the bad men knew Daniel would do. They skipped straight off to tell the king, oh, your most glittering highness, your law says, does it not, that everyone must pray to you alone, sire? Yes, said the king. Oh, magisterial brightness, then correct us if we're wrong, but it would not seem that Daniel is praying to God, not to you. It would seem that Daniel is praying to God, not to you. The king was sad. He had been tricked. He didn't want to hurt Daniel, but he couldn't change his law. And so he let the soldiers throw Daniel to the lions. May your God, who you love so much, rescue you, the king said. The king went back to his palace, but he didn't sleep that night, not a wink. He tossed and turned until finally, at the first glimmer of dawn, he leaped out of bed and ran straight to the den. Daniel, he cried, has your God rescued you? Yes, Daniel shouted. God sent an angel to close the lion's mouths. And there, resting his head on Daniel's lap, was the largest lion, purring like a little kitten. The king brought Daniel out of the den. Look, he said, Daniel doesn't even have a scratch. The king made a new law. Daniel's God is the true God, the God who rescues. Pray to him instead. God would keep on rescuing his people. And the time was coming when God would send another brave hero, like Daniel, who would love God and do what God said, whatever it cost him, even if it meant he would die. And together they would pull off the greatest rescue the world has ever known. So that's the story of Daniel in one of these Bibles. And I did this out of order, so that's why you got the wrong picture up there. But it's okay, I'm going to do that one next. Daniel is an amazing character, and it just the thing that really struck me as so cool was that these guys could count on Daniel being faithful to his God. Even if it would cost him his life, they counted on him. That is so cool. Next one we're going to do is the Storybook Bible. That's this one. I think, yeah, this is The Good Neighbor. If you have this, I didn't have many of these left. If you have this, look along with me. It has pictures. This is based on Luke 10. You kids all know the story about the Good Samaritan? Kids in back? Yes, yes, yes. Thank you. One day a man asked Jesus a question. Who is my neighbor? Jesus told him a good story. A man was walking along a lonely road. Some robbers beat him up and stole all of his things. He was hurt and all alone. Some people walked past, but they did not help. Then a man called a Samaritan came by. Samaritans were not always liked by most people. He did not know the hurt man, but he said, I will help you. The good Samaritan took care of the hurt man. Then he took him to an inn. The Samaritan even paid for the man to stay there until he felt better. When the story was over, Jesus asked, who is the neighbor to the hurt man? The man listening said, the one who took care of him. Jesus said, go and do as he did. That is such a cool story, and it's written into law in some states that a good Samaritan that does something out of the goodness of their heart, you can't hold him liable for any mistakes he might make. You've heard of that law before. Okay, next picture. That's, you know, you put these little pictures in, and I had no clue it was going to do that. That was so cool. Put that up there, and it goes back. So enough of that silliness. Speaking of pictures, we had a picture that was a video of one of the kids over there at Sheridan Village with the basketball back and forth. I mean, it was a little kid. And if I was clever enough, we would have had that on there so you could have watched him. But I'm not clever enough to put that on a... This Bible is the Berenstain Bears Storybook Bible. If you didn't know, the Berenstain Bears are amazing book writers, and it's kind of cool how popular they are because they have a lot of good themes and Berenstain Bear Bibles, etc. I didn't know that. This should be where the bookmarker is. A few of you have this. I didn't have many of this left. This is Jesus in the Holy City. One day, Jesus and his disciples traveled all the way to the holy city of Jerusalem. This is the part where we're sure that we understand Easter is all about. The people of Jerusalem greeted him with joy. They laid palm branches on the road before him in welcome. They shouted, "Hosanna," which means save us. The people called him the Son of David. That meant they believed he was the new king of Israel. The leaders of the city grew worried. They did not like it when the people called Jesus a king. There already was a ruler of the land. They thought Jesus was causing a lot of trouble. That made them angry. These leaders did not understand that the kingdom of Jesus was really the kingdom of heaven. It was the feast of Passover while Jesus was in Jerusalem. That is the holiday when Jewish people remember when Moses led God's people out of Egypt. Jesus and his followers had a Passover supper in Jerusalem, like everyone else. During the supper, Jesus broke a loaf of bread in two. He poured out wine. "This bread and wine is like my body and my blood," he said. "Eating and drinking these things will remind you of me." Jesus told them that he would soon be leaving them. The last days of Jesus. Judas was one of Jesus' disciples, but he was angry with Jesus. He decided to tell the leaders of the city about Jesus. Judas wanted them to put Jesus in prison. One night, Jesus went to a garden to pray. His disciples were with him, but they fell asleep. Judas knew Jesus was there too. He led soldiers to the garden to take Jesus prisoner. The disciples were all afraid and ran away. The leaders of Jerusalem decided to hand Jesus over to their ruler. He was a Roman named Pilate. Pilate did not like being bothered about Jesus. He decided to show everyone that Jesus was not a king. After asking Jesus many questions, Pilate ordered Jesus to be put to death by hanging on a wooden cross. The day Jesus died was a terrible day. The skies grew dark and a great wind arose. Many people were afraid. Some people prayed. Other people ran away to hide. Next chapter. He is risen, Matthew 28. After Jesus died, some of his friends carried his body away and laid it in a tomb. The tomb was closed with a great stone. Roman soldiers guarded the tomb. 3 days after Jesus died, the earth shook. An angel came and rolled the stone away from the entrance, then sat on the stone. When the soldiers saw the angel, they fell down in fear and ran. Some of the women who followed Jesus came, weeping, to the tomb. They saw that the stone was rolled away and that Jesus was gone. "Do not be afraid," the angel told the women. "Jesus is not here. He is risen. He is alive again." Jesus' friends locked themselves in a room after Jesus died. They were afraid they would be taken prisoner by the Romans too. But then Jesus came to them. The disciples were amazed Jesus was alive and fell down and worshiped him. "Peace be with you," Jesus said. Jesus then told them to go and spread the good news about what had happened. Finally, 40 days later, Jesus rose up to heaven to be with God, his Father. The followers of Jesus went out into the world and told everyone about Jesus and his wonderful story. The story of Easter, I love it. Last one is from the story. This is the story of Thomas. It's on page 386. You have a marker. You can follow along if you want to. Second paragraph. I looked at pictures to put on this, and it just seemed so personal. Jesus standing there with his shirt off so that he could come and touch his side. That's a personal God. Thomas, also known as D-I-D-Y-M-U-S, I'm not sure how you say it, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Blessed are we who have not seen the literal scars in the side and still believe today. Hallelujah. Okay. Next one. This is kind of a repeat. So what next? We've had the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We have a follow-up Bible study going on at Windsor Park and Sheridan Village. I hope to go back and follow up with some Bibles extras for kids that didn't have them or people that didn't get them that might want one. I think there's still room for more. For us, for you, that's the second time. I'm encouraging you, if you choose to, this is voluntary, it's not pushy. Take the Bible that you got today and give it to somebody. And it's optional. And if the one, nobody comes to mind, you can leave it here and we'll find a home for it somewhere. And if you got this one and you said, "Gee, I was thinking of this kid," take it out there and trade it in. There's some other Bibles out there that I didn't bring in because I didn't use them to read, but there's another one out there, and just look them over. My encouragement to you is take one. You know, there's been people that have said to me, "I sure want to give this to one of my friends for Christmas," or something like that. I've heard that from several different persons. This is your chance. Take one, the one you have or one out there, and pass it on to someone. This is a kids' event, too. Kids, take one, and some kid. Well, you could give it to an adult. I guess that would be cool, too. Feel free to take one and give it to someone. There are other ones out there, other Bibles. The grand finale, da-da-da, we're going to see if you still got your memory verse, because you want to go away from here with a memory verse still in mind. Pastor Chris would be so proud of us for memorizing verses, because he encourages us to do that. I have memorized 2 in the last year. That's a slow learner. It's not easy for me. It's a cool thing to do. Together, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and light unto my path." Now, if I was still at school with a bunch of kids and we were memorizing something, I'd put it up there again and I'd take one word out. And then I'd put it up there again and take 2 words out. And then I'd put it up there again and take 3 words out until you got to the end and you were reading it from your brain without even looking it up there. But I won't challenge you with that. One more time together. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and light unto my path." Amen. Doug.